one of those amazing, beautiful psalms. When I worked through this psalm, I was so amazed because when I read through it, I came to the psalm with a completely different angle. And as I read through the psalm, it just spoke to my heart, and I said, "Wow, this is just something that I really feel that I want to share with you, especially in the time that we're living in. There are so many things that's happening that are so negative, so many things that are really just take our minds off those things that are actually most important in life, and those are eternal things. Those are the things that we're going to take into eternity. That's what we're going to meet in eternity. We're going to be with the Lord forever and ever. And the world has gotten it right somehow to get us so focused on the here and now that we spend a little bit of time, and that little time that we spend on eternal things, we're sometimes busy asking the Lord, please help us with this, and we've got this issue, and that needs to be resolved, and how do we do this, and we don't really get to focus on Him. And this psalm is one of those psalms that kind of tells us the focus needs to be on Him. So I hope for this message, at least, we will be able to focus on Him. Psalm 135 is such a beautiful psalm. I remember some years ago, it's not happening that much anymore, even though Salome can play guitar, but we don't really grab the guitars and just play. But in Maltino, we used to do that. Nico, we were involved in the ministry together. He would come over with his family, and we would have the piano, and we would have the we would have guitar and tambourine and harmonica and all kinds of instruments, and we'll just get together and we just do some praise and worship, you know, just sing some songs. I think sometimes if somebody walked past the house, they would think we have a party, but then they would listen to the music and say, "This is not party music." But it's lively music. It's something that we really enjoy doing, just singing God's praises, worshiping Him for who He is and what He has done, and just taking some time out to focus on Him. And I think singing is one of those opportunities that we have to really focus in on Him. Even at the tents, I remember the teams at times we would just spontaneously just start singing. You know, while we're busy in the morning, cleaning up and whatever, the team would just start singing, and we would have some songs that we would just spontaneously sing as we praise the Lord. And then we go into Bible study, and in Bible study also have some singing. And I remember how it's so uplifting just to spend time praising the Lord, just praising Him for everything that He has done, because we are so easily caught up in this rat race with our problems and all the issues of life that we forget that if we focus on Him, it's not as if He takes the cares away, but it's amazing, the more we focus on the Lord and the less we focus on our problems, it's as if we can face those problems, and it's as if the Lord just gives us clarity on those problems, and we realize that He is greater and bigger than any of our problems that we might have. And if you read Psalm 135, you'll see it starts off with the words in verse 1. This is how it starts. Praise the Lord. That's how it starts. Praise the Lord. Now go to the end quickly. You see how it ends. Praise the Lord. The beginning of the psalm and the end of the psalm, just praise the Lord. This is one of those praise the Lord psalms. Hallel psalm. It's one of those great psalms where God is, well, how can I say, the people of God is called up to praise the Lord, to praise Yahweh, to bring Him the praise for who He is and what He has done. It's just absolutely amazing. Before we continue, though, let's have a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, what a privilege this morning to come to You in the wonderful, glorious name of Jesus Christ and to look at the psalm. We are called upon to praise You, to really praise the Lord. And for these few moments, for these few minutes, Father, we've been singing Your praises already, and we focused on You, but even now, as we look at your word, Father, I pray, please, will you open up our hearts and our minds so that we can focus on you, that our focus can be on praising you as the living Almighty God. And it's such a privilege to be able to come to you and to praise you, because it's of what Christ has done for us. We don't have it in ourselves. We don't have that ability to praise you in and of ourselves, because you won't even accept it. But in Christ, we can praise you, and it's acceptable in your sight. So, Father, as we dig into this psalm, will you please open up it up to us so we may understand. And may you be glorified, as we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, so the psalm, we don't know who the psalmist is, by the way, but the psalm just starts off with these words, praise the Lord. And that word is halal. Now, in Hebrew, they will rather use the word halal. Nah? They love to use that little I love Hebrew. So in Hebrew, it would be halal. That would be the word praise. And it basically means, and this is interesting, I've just taken two of the meanings of halal, depends on in which tense it's used, but just two of the meanings is to shine of God's favor. When you are praising God, you are shining of His favor, which means you are so glad of what God has done for you that you are praising Him and you are shining the favor of God through you. And it's also an act of, or they say, to act madly, or to act like a madman. That's not one of those crazy guys. Nah, that's not the madness that it speaks about here. It is to act like somebody that's gone mad. I mean, just you're praising. It's you out of yourself in praise to the living Almighty God. It is like what happened to David. You remember when the Ark of the Covenant came back to Israel? And David was all excited about the Ark of the Covenant. We read in 2 Samuel chapter 6, verse 15. It says, so David and all the house of Israel brought up the Ark of the Lord with shouting and with the sound of the trumpet. Here's this bunch of people coming in to Jerusalem with the Ark of the Covenant, and they are shouting and the trumpets are blowing and these people are going mad. And David, by the way, dancing in front of the ark. Amazing. They must have looked like a bunch of mad people. Dancing in front of an ark. A thing with two poles. Absolutely amazing. And so what happened was, this is how the story goes. Saul's daughter, she looked through the window and she saw David. And she saw how he was leaping and whirling before the Lord. And she wasn't happy about it at all. And you see, that's kind of how it normally works. If somebody is not in tune with somebody else praising, they would think, oh, that's madness. If somebody doesn't really love Christ that much, that they don't really have a life of worship, a life of praise, they will look at those who are praising and say, man, you're mad, you're nuts, there's something wrong with you. Because praise comes from within. It comes from a relationship with the living Almighty God. Anyway, so when David got home, after placing the ark at the place that he prepared for it, Saul's daughter told him in verse 20 of 2 Samuel chapter 6, and this is, she was using sarcasm here. She says the following, how glorious was the king of Israel today, uncovering himself today in the eyes of the maids of his servants. Sarcastic, eh? And what happened was that David just took off his royal clothes and he put on priestly clothes. Now he put on religious dress because he was now worshiping God. So he just said, I'm just going to take off what needs to be taken off because now my focus is on God and the Ark of the Covenant is returned to Israel and he's all excited about it. Then in verse 21, David said to Saul's daughter, it was before the Lord who chose me instead of your father and all his house to appoint me ruler over the people of the Lord, over Israel. Therefore, I will play music before the Lord. What a way of addressing her. I will do it because it's about God and about God's favor over me. God chose me above your father to lead the people of Israel. You see, what happened was, and this is how David was doing it, because halal, remember, it means to shine to God's favor and to act madly. That's exactly what David did. You see, David praised God for the ark has returned, which means God's presence was with Israel again. And David praised God for David was chosen as king, which meant that he found favor in God's eyes. That enough was enough reason for David to praise God. But I mean, above all of that, the ark was back. God's presence was again in Israel. Wow, it's amazing. And David praised God by acting madly. He was overjoyed, and all his focus was on the Lord. And just by the way, if you go and read the text, you will hear that Saul's daughter never had a child. She was barren because she mocked God. She mocked God's servant, was praising God because the Ark of the Covenant returned to Israel. And God left her barren for the rest of her life. But David understood what it meant to praise God, because, I mean, for him, wow, it was just amazing. Verse 1 of Psalm 135 says, then we read in verse 1, it says, praise the name of the Lord. Praise Him, O you servants of the Lord. That's what we are called to do. This is a call to praise. If you're a servant of God, if you love Christ, praise Him. Praise Him with everything that is in you. Praise Him. He is worthy to be praised. You see, there is a call to praise the Lord in verses 1 and 2. To shine forth God's favor and to show the world that we belong to God. That I'm not afraid and I'm ashamed to worship and to praise the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, the Almighty God, the Creator of heaven and earth. I'm not afraid to praise Him. And if people think I'm mad, so be it. It's their problem. Absolutely their problem. But then the psalmist goes and he tells us why we should be, why the Lord should be praised. And just follow with me. I'm not going to read it because it's 21 verses. But just follow with me and you'll see as the verses unfold, just amazing the psalmist tells us why the Lord should be praised. In verse 3, he tells us that the Lord should be praised just because of who He is. I mean, because of His character. The Lord should be praised because He is good. He's good to His people. God is always good. It is who God is. His name is pleasant. He is to be praised. Just because of who God is. Just if we say to one another, the Almighty God is worthy to be praised, that gives enough reason for us to praise Him, to praise the Lord. Verse 4, the psalmist tells us that the Lord should be praised because He has chosen Jacob for Himself, which means God is a God who chooses people and then He makes them His own, and He has a plan for their lives, and then He starts fulfilling that purpose and plan in their lives. Absolutely amazing. God chose Jacob as the offspring of Isaac, which means that God also chose Isaac, and he's the offspring of Abraham because Abraham was also chosen by God. You see, God does whatever He does for a reason, for a purpose. Special to be chosen. And if you're chosen by God, wow, what a reason to praise Him. God has put His finger on me? Why me? Who am I? I'm nothing. Yet God chose me. I can serve Christ. I can worship Him. I have faith in Christ. I serve the Lord. Why me? That's enough reason for us to praise Him. Verse 5 to 7, we see the psalmist tells us that the Lord should be praised because of His sovereignty in creation. Verse 5 says he is above all gods. Enough reason to praise him, hey? He's above all gods. There's no other God like him. Never was, never will be. In fact, Scripture says there's only one God. There's only one true God, and that is the God that is to be praised. The God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. He's the one who is to be praised. He's above all gods. Verse 6 tells us, whatever the Lord wants done, he does it. He's the one that's in control. He's in control in heaven, in earth, in the seas, in the deep places. He's in control. There's reasons for us to praise him. Verse 7 speaks about the fact that he causes the water cycles to function. He causes the lightning. He causes the wind to blow. Yeah, it's right to praise the Lord. He is rightly to be praised. Because he's God. When you go to verse 8 to 12, the psalmist tells us that the Lord should be praised because he delivered Israel. He is the one that has the power. He is the one who has the might to deliver his people. And even if he decides to take them home to be with him forever and ever, that's also deliverance. No? That's perfect deliverance, by the way. So God, the Almighty God, can deliver his people, whether he delivers them from the enemy here now on this earth, or whether he delivers them and takes them home to be with him forever and ever, God is still the great deliverer. He's worthy to be praised. Verse 8 to 9 says that the psalmist delivered Israel from Egypt. Eh? Speaks about the plagues that came upon the Egyptians. We know that there was the death of the firstborn. There was the death of, and that was man and animal. Eh? The signs and the things that we saw in Israel as God was busy delivering the people of Israel, frogs and the Nile turning into blood and darkness and grasshoppers and all these things that happened in Israel. In Egypt, sorry. As God prepared the way for Israel to be delivered from the hands of the Egyptians. Sores that came upon Pharaoh and upon his servants. As described here in this text, it's reason for us to praise God. Well, for Israel, even more so, because they were the recipients of God's deliverance. God delivered them. But for us, when we read it, we say, wow, if God did it for Israel, he can do it for me. If God delivered Israel from the Egyptians, he can deliver me. If God could deliver them from bondage, from slavery, so can God do it for me. God can deliver me from slavery. He can deliver me from bondage. Because that's who God is. Is he worthy to be praised? Of course he is. He's worthy to be praised. Verse 10 and 11, we see that God gave kings into the hands of Israel. When Israel won the wars, for example, Sihon, the king of the Ammonites, Og, the king of Bashan, all the kingdoms of Canaan, God gave into the hands of the Israelites so that they could defeat them and be victorious over them. And then at the end of the day, verse 12 tells us that God gave the land of Canaan to Israel after the kings were defeated. God gave them the land after he defeats the kings. All by the hand of God. Absolutely amazing. God looked after his people Israel. He is worthy to be praised, and God looks after us. Let me tell you, beloved, it might seem sometimes that he's not looking after us, that he's not delivering us, but we need to know that God delivers his people, even if he decides to take them home. Then, when we get to verse 13 to 18, the psalmist tells us that the Lord should be praised because he is far above everything. God is real, he's alive, he's unique in every single way. Verse 13 tells us that God's name endures forever. God's fame goes from generation to generation. Verse 14 tells us that God will judge his people and have compassion on his servants. God is absolutely unique in the way he works with his people. He's in every way possible. God is unique. And because of his uniqueness, he's worthy to be praised. Worthy to be honored, to be glorified. And then in verses 15 to 18, the psalmist tells us that God is to be praised because he is not like the idols of the nations. Because the nations worship idols. And it's so interesting if you go to Isaiah and you read what Isaiah says about these idols that the people make. They take the same piece of wood and they make an idol out of one part of the wood, and from the other part they make a fire. And they make food on the fire, and it's the same wood. And then they take this piece of wood and they carve an idol out of it, and then they bow before that idol. But that idol has ears but cannot hear, and feet that cannot walk, and hands that cannot do anything, and a mouth that cannot speak, and eyes that cannot see, yet they bow before that idol, as if that idol can help them and that idol can do anything. So in comparison to the idols that the nations worship and they fall down before, how much more God, who is alive, God who is no idol, God who is the only true God. You see, verse 15 says that the idols are made from silver and gold. They are the work of man's hands. God is not made from the hands of people, is he? No, God is eternal. He's from eternity to eternity. He always existed. He is the eternal God. He never changes. He is the only true God. He's not made by the hands of men. He is to be praised. Not the idols that are made with the hands of people. Verse 16 and 17 tells us that the idols have mouths, but they cannot speak. Eyes, but they cannot see. Ears, but they cannot hear. And they have a mouth that they cannot breathe through, because they're not alive. They're dead. God is not like that. God has spoken through the prophets. God is still speaking to us through his word, even today, isn't he? When we pray, God hears us. God listens to our prayers. He's not like the idols. He is worthy to be praised because he's so much different to the idols that people make for themselves. Verse 18 tells us that people who make idols, by the way, it's very interesting, are like the idols they make. They become just like the idols they create. So if somebody starts worshiping a tree, you will see that that person becomes tree-like. You will see, as time goes on, they become just like the trees they worship. Doesn't matter what kind of idol that is worshipped, people become just like that idol. After a while, you look at that person, you say, that person resembles the idol that they worship. It's remarkable. But it's amazing as well that we are created in God's image. You know that everybody, every single person on the face of this planet, created in God's image, are supposed to reflect God's image, yet we don't do that. So what God has done is God recreates us in Christ Jesus so that we can now reflect the image of Christ. Because we do become like the one we worship. It's a fact. We become Christ-like because we worship him. We become more and more like him in our character. But those people who worship idols, they become more and more like those idols. Have you noticed all the countries where ancestors are worshipped? Have you noticed that those countries are poor? That the people cannot get anywhere in life? Because that's what the ancestor spirits do. They make them poor. People become just like the idols they worship. Those that worship sports, have you seen the big stadiums they build? Seen how much money they spend and waste on all these things, advertising and on the players and whatever? And they don't care about the rest of creation. They just care about that because that's their idol. That's the thing they worship. They become just like it. And you can see when you switch on the TV and you start seeing all these people move towards these stadiums, you can see the people that worship rugby, they become rugby players. Have you seen that? People who worship soccer, they become soccer players. It's as if they change. Something happens inside of them. They become like the idols they worship. Those people who love money, you will see, they don't change into little note, you know, money note or something. That's not what I'm saying. But you can see there's this thing inside of them that changes into the kind of idol that they are worshiping. God is not like that. And when we are changed into the image and likeness of Christ more and more, whoa, praise God, because that is so beautiful, because it's righteous, it's holy, it's beautiful. Beloved, when we look at, by the way, verse 18 tells us that everyone who trusts in idols are like those idols as well. And then the psalmist ends off in verse 19 to 21. He ends off with a call again to praise. And this time he says it's specific people that is to praise him, but he uses different words. He doesn't say praise the Lord, but he says bless the Lord. See those words? But it's the same as praise the Lord. Verse 19, he says, bless the Lord, who? He says, the people of Israel. His chosen people, bless the Lord. Verse 19 continues to say, bless the Lord, who? Aaron, which means the high priesthood of Israel. Verse 20, bless the Lord, who? The Levites, all the priests, praise the Lord. Verse 20 continues to say, who to bless? All of you who fear the Lord. Bless Him. Praise Him. A call on specific people to praise Him. Then verse 21. From where should the Lord be praised? He says, from out of Zion, which means out of the holy mountain of the Lord, out of the holy place. God is to be worshipped. And then he says, who else should praise Him? As a conclusion, he says, everyone who dwells in Jerusalem. And there he includes not only the proselytes, not only the Jews, but he includes everybody that's in Jerusalem, because they are now in the city of God. They are now where the temple is. They are now in the place where the presence of God is, because the Ark of the Covenant is in the holy place, in the temple in Jerusalem. Everybody that's in Jerusalem should praise the Lord, because that's where He settled His name. And they should praise Him because He's worthy to be praised. And the psalmist ends off with the words, praise the Lord, right there at the end. Hallelujah! Absolutely amazing. Absolutely amazing. So that's just a quick rundown of the psalm. So what does it mean for us? Here in Newcastle Baptist Church, 2022, is it the 17th today, The 17th of July, 2022. Beloved, I believe that the psalm calls on everyone everywhere to praise the Lord, specifically, obviously, His children. Those who have been saved by grace through faith in Jesus Christ, they are the ones specifically called to praise the Lord. Specifically, it's a call to all the servants of the Lord, to those who fear the Lord, those who need to come and to praise Him, to praise His name, to shine forth God's favor, to show the world that we have received favor from God, and to act madly unto the Lord, to focus on God alone in song, music, praise, singing, shouting, dancing if it can, clapping of hands before the Lord. Now, I know we're conservative. And I know the only time that you'll hear us clap hands is when we are in a concert. In a secular concert where there's a secular singer or somebody, then you'll hear clapping of hands. You won't hear it in the church because we're conservative. You won't hear people in the church shout out to the Lord and praise Him with full blast voices, but you'll hear it at a rugby or a soccer game. You'll hear them. That's where they'll shout. They will shout when the parents are running next to the field, when the children are playing. That's when you'll hear them loud. But when it comes to praising God, we're conservative. Beloved, the mode doesn't matter. It's about the heart. You have people that are outgoing. But I'm always amazed how people are outgoing some other places, but when it comes to the church, they're not. It's as if they change. But when it comes to praise, the thing is we need to praise God. Whether you do it softly, quietly, in the way that you do it, because we are all different, that's fine. But we need to do it. And I think this is what the psalm does. The psalm calls us to praise. And by the way, the word, this word praise is associated with the ministry of the Levites, who basically praised God morning and evening. In 1 Chronicles 23:30, it says, to stand every morning, that's the Levites, to thank and to praise the Lord, and likewise at evening. How would you like to have the job of praising God in the morning and the evening? That's your job. That's what you do. Every day, praise God. In the morning and in the evening. How would you enjoy it if you were praising God 24 hours a day, singing His praises? Because that's what we're going to do in heaven. We're going to sing His praises. I don't know whether we're going to sing in a choir 24 hours a day. That I don't know. Scripture doesn't tell us. But what I do know is in heaven, we're going to be singing God's praises. And if we can't sing God's praises this side of heaven, why will you ever want to do it on the other side when you are in heaven? If people don't want to praise God now, why in the world would they want to praise Him for eternity? So amazing that people want to, when they die, then they want to do everything for the Lord. But while they're alive, they hardly want to do anything for the Lord. It's absolutely amazing. When we look at praise, beloved, we know that all of creation is called on to join in and to praise God. If you look at, for example, Psalm 148, various instruments can be used when it comes to praising God. Psalm 150, good example of that. In fact, when we read the word hallelujah, it is a command to praise. Né? To praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Praise God. Praise the Lord. There's this beautiful call in this psalm, Psalm 135, to collective praise. And it's something we can all do together. When we sing a song of praise, we should pour our hearts and our souls into it. We should sing aloud. We should use instruments, as many as we can. We should praise Him, thank Him, and we should do it with excitement. Raise our voices, sing to Him, not listen to the person next to you to hear whether that person is false or not. Who cares? Focus on God. Sing His praises. Be like David and says, I'll make music before the Lord, when he spoke to Saul's daughter. I always associate praise with energy, enthusiasm, you know, excitement, boldness, joyfulness. That's what I associate it with. The psalmist tells us that our Lord is worthy of praise. He is worthy to receive all the praise. So I believe that we should do that. We should make it a constant, conscious thing to praise Him. And why? Because we come into His presence through the work of Jesus Christ. We can praise Him for He is always good, perfect, and holy. We can praise Him because He is our source of happiness, of joy, and of peace. We can praise Him because we are a chosen people for His name's sake. Scripture calls us a holy priesthood, a chosen people. We can praise the Lord for He is above all other so-called gods. We can praise Him for His sovereignty. We can praise Him for He is in control. We can praise Him for He has control of the water cycles, of lightning, of the wind. We can praise Him because He protects His own and He delivers them when they need it. Even from foreign kings, and even if they take them home, He takes them home, He protects His own. We can praise Him for He is Lord over the house of Israel. He's Lord over the high priests and the priests, those who fear Him. All those in Jerusalem, God is God over all of them. We can praise Him for that. He is Lord Savior, Master, King. He is worthy of all our praise. Not because we make Him worthy. He's worthy in and of Himself. He's absolutely worthy. We can praise Him because He is not like the man-made idols. He's not made with the hands of men. He's eternal. We can praise Him. He has no beginning, no end. Praise Him. Idols have mouths, but they cannot speak. Praise God that we have His word through which He speaks to us. We have the prophets. He spoke through them. Praise Him for that. Idols have eyes, but they cannot see. There is nothing that passes by that God does not see. Praise Him for that. The idols have ears, but they cannot hear. Praise God that He hears every single prayer of ours. In fact, Scripture tells us that there's a bowl in heaven, and all the prayers of the saints goes into that bowl. It's just a picture, no? But what a picture. All our prayers come before the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. He hears all of them. His ear is never too deaf to hear. His hand is never too short to help. The idols, they don't have the breath of life in them. They have mouths, but they cannot breathe. God is the life giver. God is the one who gives the Ruach Yahweh, the breath of life. God is the one who gives life. He is life. We can praise Him for that. The people who made idols become just like them. We can praise God that we are constantly being changed into the image and likeness of Christ. Constantly. And it's His work. That's what He's doing in us all the time, getting us ready to enter into eternity with Him. People who praise the Lord, praise Him. And just to bring in the New Testament, we praise Him because we have new life in Christ. Eh? We have the gospel. We have the good news that we not only embrace and praise God for, but we can share it with the world that needs to hear it. We see God's love and His goodness in and around us. We hear the good news of the gospel being preached. We read it in His word as we study the word of God. Absolutely amazing. We have eternal life. Shall I continue? So many reasons to praise Him. We should walk around praising God. Our mouths, our lives, our hearts, our hands, our feet, our everything should be filled with praises to Him who is worthy to be praised. And by the way, those who do praise the Lord has reason to praise Him. And I would like to close with these words. May today and this coming week be filled with praise to the only one worthy of all praise. As the psalmist begins to say, praise the Lord. He ends the psalm by saying, praise the Lord. So I want to encourage you during this week, do that. Go and praise the Lord. And I want to ask you to stand with me as we sing this lovely chorus, all praise to Him.